And that's it. We're live. How's it going? It's live, but it's not live. So like it's live for us, but I'm still gonna edit and post this probably like 5 weeks. So perfect. we get some cool traction from Mr. Rob Font. How are you, brother?
I'm great, brother. How you doing?
Everything good, man. Thanks for taking the time. Thanksgiving Day. When I had a friend that did the connection between us, and he goes like, "Hey," he said, "tomorrow 1 o'clock." I was like, "All right, Thanksgiving. Let's do it."
Let's do it. How's it going?
Man, you with the family there in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, actually, I'm not. I'm actually just kicking it solo. You know, we're not going to do the whole family thing. I just got to work out in earlier.
Yeah,
I'm gonna stop by my girlfriend's family's house real quick and say hi, and then we're back at the gym. You know, especially with the COVID situation, and I got a training camp, and you know,
better not take a chance either, right?
So it's like, you know, like we're just trying to take it low key and just staying focused, and you know, I'll do like a small little thing, but nothing crazy.
Yeah, and don't take any chances either, right? Because this thing is spreading out so quick. Mass, it's a hot spot right now too, right? New York, it's getting hot again. I think you guys had already. Massachusetts already has like a curfew in place and stuff like that, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's curfews. It's more like mandatory mask laws and all that stuff. So it's trying to like obviously limit my access to people and just stay focused on the fight. You know, it's a big fight, big opportunity. And,
I know.
You know, like can't let anything distract me right now.
So for the guys who are listening to us, Mr. Rob Font here, it's fighting Marlon Moraes on December 12th, right?
December 19th.
Okay. Oh, that's right. That's the coolest card of the year so far, right?
Yeah, it's like,
So happy it's gonna be a fight week, not a pay-per-view, because it amplifies so much the audience, right? Because it's live on ESPN and stuff like that. So that's exactly. Huge. That's huge.
Big opportunity, man.
Exactly. So how this fight came? Because it's like it's a very it's a risky fight for Marlon as well, but like looking like throughout like rankings, right? Like we always talk rankings and stuff like that, right? I think it's really cool that you took that big challenge, but I also think it's really cool from Marlon take a big risk like that, because he could play like most of the guys. They just like no, I just want to play someone, you know, that's close to me on the rankings. Yeah. And people don't usually take that much risk. So how did that work out? That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know what happened on his side. You know, as far as me, it was like a no-brainer.
Right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a no-brainer. It was like, that's huge. You know, I'm right back in there where I want to be, get right back into the mix. So, you know, it could be he just lost. You know, he may be super motivated to get back in there. And because I know how that feels, like, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. I just want to fight. I want to erase that feeling, erase that taste in your mouth of losing, you know. So,
exactly.
Like, it could be a little bit of that.
I think especially
been like, this is the only fight we can get you right now, and if you don't take it, then you're going to have to wait another year or something like that. You never know, you know. Like,
yeah.
It is what it is. I'm just happy I got the fight.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know. And especially after, like, a loss, like Marlon lost to Dan Hooker. Like that type of like he just got caught on a kick or something, right? Like that's the shit that happens. Like you're there, and I think Joe Rogan says like the perfect phrase for this is like, hey, if you zig and you should have zag, the fight's over. I think he got that kind of Marlon got that kind of feeling, you know, it's like shit, I got caught, and I want to get right back in there. So, yeah, good for you.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that, and then obviously, you know, because he could have played it out, he could have sat, he could have been more, I guess, a little more strategic about who he fought. And but it is what it is, you know. He's a fighter at heart, you know. You know, and you know, they threw my name out there. Like, I'm assuming he said yeah. You know, obviously once they contacted us, we're like, hell, because it wasn't like on my radar really. Like, I was thinking I was gonna get like one of the guys, like the number, like a Jimmy Rivera or like a Chito Rivera or something, you know what I'm saying? Like somebody like that, like, or Cody Stamen or up and comer or something, you know, something like kind of like, but they said Marlon Moraes, he just fought, you know what I'm saying, basically for the number one contender fight. Like, yeah, definitely. Former Thailand challenger, you know, and he had a belt outside of the organization. So like you said, that's a big name, big audience, especially for the night we're fighting is going to be a big card. So it's big, you know, and I'm happy, you know, and I'm excited.
Looking at that card, I think I made a post just the other day on a podcast page. We have Leon Edwards versus Chimaev, right?
Wonderboy
versus Neil. We have Jose Aldo against Marlon Vera, and then you and Marlon. I think that the Brazilian guy, I keep forgetting his name. The one that does the flips and everything. people are gonna scream at me. It's like, oh, you forgot this guy's name. But that guy's gonna fight there too. It's a big card, especially for us Brazilians. Yeah, especially with Aldo coming back. There's like some big expectations about Aldo fight. People trying to, they kind of like thinking like this is gonna be like a breaking moment for Aldo because he needs a win badly, especially against a guy like Marlon Vera. He needs to perform on that fight.
We'll see, man. You know, it's MMA, so you never know. It's gonna be a fun night, exciting fights, big night, and I can't wait to get out there and put my hands on him.
Awesome. Talk about you a little bit. How you came up with on MMA and on fight night? What should people look for? What is like your trademark?
Yeah, you know, I'm a technical striker. You know, I put it together well, but I mainly look for the stand up striking and looking for the knockouts and the finishes. You know, I blend my elbows, knees, and kicks together. But mainly it's been like it's been heavy boxing and you know, like trying to, you know, get a shot when I can, but I'm not necessarily forced to take downs too much. But you know, I have a ground game. I definitely know how to wrestle, and it's you know, I'm always looking for the finish. I'm exciting, and you know, I feel like you tune into a Rob Font fight, you should expect knockouts, and at least you're gonna see me attempting to knock these people out. And you know, that's what I bring to the table. I want finishes, and I'm always consistently chasing that bonus. So,
yeah, that's really cool. I see you fought three times in 2018. Your last two fights were Sergio Perez, who's now at Bellator, and that was a big upset, right? Because I think UFC was kind of lining him up for like a title. Did he actually did the title shot?
No, he
was super close, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you won against Rick Simon. That was a fun fight. So you didn't come up to a fight in 2020. What with all of that like a fight Iceland stuff going on?
Yeah, no. So I actually tore my ACL during that Ricky Simon fight in the second round. Yeah, so I tore my ACL in the second round of that Ricky Simon fight, fully gone, ruptured it. Then obviously we got through the third round, we won the fight, and then 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, I was already on the table, getting surgery. 3 weeks after that, I was in Vegas rehabbing. Kind of kept it low, obviously the coronavirus and pandemic, all that stuff happened, and just you know, kept my head down. You know, did a couple like interviews about the ACL surgery, but wasn't like letting everybody know, and then got back to rehab, and then that was it. Once it got cleared, we reached out to Sean Shelby in the UFC, and they gave us Marlon Moraes. So
that's awesome, man. That's awesome, and it's a great. It's a shitty thing to happen, but it was actually good timing to recover, right? It's like it's
yeah. Nah, it was like I just had. It was like it sucked, but it was like I had nothing else to do but the recovery. So my whole focus 100% in on recovery, and just got the job done, and I feel great. Brand new knee, feel better. I feel rested. You know, I didn't take any headshots. I got time to nurse all my little baby bumps and bruises. You know, and then I got to also, you know, I just got to relax and take a little bit of time off. Obviously, it was forced, and I didn't want to, but you know, I learned a lot. You know, I got to sit back and watch the game and watch a lot of old footages, a lot of old foot fights from my fights. I mean, just kind of break down my game, MMA in general, different type of styles, and just visually get better until I could, like, obviously get my knee back and then physically get better. And then within, like, I put my head down within 4 months, I felt like I was moving around, getting back to
That's awesome.
Shadow boxing, deadlifting, riding the bike, the small things. And I was like, all right, cool, I'm back. And then, yeah, it went smooth.
And it's cool too, because like I said, like, it's with this whole COVID situation going on, a lot of people took fights without actually being like 100% or being able to train 100%, right? Because you can train 100%, but you don't have 100% of your training partners or the, like, the scenario. That's what people kind of like don't understand sometimes, right? They say, well, yeah, but you see like a bunch of guys coming in, like, they're not in perfect shape, like fighting shape, they're gassing out on second rounds and stuff. And people are like, well, but the guys should be able to train. It's like, it's not the same, because you used to have like 20 training partners. Now you got like 3 or 4 guys. It's a different scenario. It's a different reality right now.
And
if there's a time to be out, that was a good time for you to be out, right? Like, hey, just...
I kind of got good timing, I guess. You know, like, I came back when things are kind of getting back to normal. It's a little looser, you know, like, I know it was tough. Like I said, I was in Calvin Cater's camps, you know. He had 2 fights, so I know exactly what it was like for those guys.
Yeah.
Calvin fought on the first card back.
The one in Florida, right?
In Jacksonville, yeah. He fought on that one. He knocked out Jeremy Stevens. So we were like, we was like the first, like almost like guinea pigs, you know what I'm saying? So to kind of like the whole process. And then we also did, and also did Fight Island with him. So I know how it went.
You went to Fight Island?
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
So we figured I flew out there. We did that. And it sucked, but. You know, it is what it is, and I'm back, baby. Can't wait to get back out there.
And it's good that you got to experience that too, right? Especially Fight Island, man, because you get a win over Marlon, big things will come, and Fight Island is right. They're going to start Fight Island again in, with the corner fight, right? So they should stay there for another month or so, for like maybe 4 or 5 cards.
Nope.
So that's huge. That's it. Tell us about, like, your journey on MMA. You were always in Massachusetts. You're like a
So I started off in Tampa, Florida, at a Gracie Tampa school. I was delivering pizza, and I delivered to a house, and they were doing jiu-jitsu outside. Shit. And it was like a fight night, and they were watching the UFC and doing jiu-jitsu outside in the garage, like, slash like front porch setup. And I pulled up. I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing? They kind of told me what they were doing. Because it wasn't like boxing or kickboxing. It was guys in gis on the floor. So I'm like, this is different. You know, I know it's not wrestling.
Is it judo?
I'm like, is it judo? What's going on? And he's like, oh, it's jiu-jitsu. It's Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And then they broke it down to me and gave me the idea. And like, and then from there, they pointed to like what school to go to. I went to that school. Started doing classes, just straight jiu-jitsu. And then I started slowly getting into Muay Thai, and then slowly got into MMA. And then I moved, then maybe a year of that in Florida. Then I moved to Boston and got into a Muay Thai school that also offered BJJ and MMA, and then just kept going with it. Within 2 years of that school and being in Boston, I took my first amateur fight. No, not even like a year. I took my amateur fight, and then I took my... After that year, I took my first pro fight, and then just kept going. And then I made my UFC debut in 2014 versus George Root.
Mm-hmm. I was looking here. So you actually fought a bunch of Brazilian guys too. You fought John Lineker, Pedro Munhoz, Thomas Almeida. I was talking to you about Thomas Almeida because this kid came as this big promise, like people were really hoping, and I don't think anybody knows what happened to him. He gave it a few interviews saying that the pressure and the expectations were so high, and he kind of felt that.
Yeah, man, it's tough, man. It's tough being that guy that they put up there, you know, and they expect a lot from. And you know, it's a rough sport. You know, anything like you said, you should have zigged. You know, when you should have zagged, exactly. Like, things happen, and you know, it is what it is. And I know he had a couple of bad injuries. I think he had it. So like, I know that took some time off, but
I think he just came back too, and he lost again.
I
think so. Hold on. Yeah, he lost to Jonathan Martinez.
How did that go?
So he fought you in January 2018. He was out until last month. So it's like over, way over 2 years, almost going to 3 years out. And then he fought Jonathan Martinez. I watched that fight. He was really, really slow, and people were really curious to see how was he gonna show up. He gave a bunch of interviews because look, the Brazilian fans are ruthless, man. They're like they support the guy 100% until they not. Or until the guy, it's like, yeah. Where are you, your background from? Your name is Roberto Fontes, right?
Yeah, so I'm Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican, okay. So yeah. It's like South Americans, like soccer teams, right? So people are going like, hey, let's go, we're going to be champions. The team loses one game. They're like, oh, you guys suck. This is the worst team ever. And they kind of like that with every sport in Brazil. Yeah, so MMA is no different.
It's brutal. Now they're brutal, man.
I had it was funny because I had Darren Till on the podcast, and he lived in Brazil for, I don't know, 5 years. So I could speak fluent Portuguese.
He speaks fluent.
We did a podcast in Portuguese. People wouldn't believe fluent. It. Like, holy shit, is that
him? I believe he had a girlfriend out there.
Yeah, I think he has a son or a daughter there.
Fluent.
And he was really cool because people are like, hey, are you kind of like dubbing that? Or I was like, oh, is he really him? I was like, no, it's him. He speaks fluent Portuguese. And he was saying, it's like, look, I remember going to bars and stuff to watch fights, and they go like, hey, Anderson Silva, he's the GOAT, he's the best ever. And then Anderson lost. He's like, yeah, this guy suck. He should retire. He's like, hey, 10 minutes ago he was the GOAT. What happened? Yeah. It's like that.
Yeah,
that's
honestly, I think that's like that, definitely everywhere, I believe. I think it's definitely in the States as well.
You felt that kind of stuff here too?
Not as bad, but but you'll see that, like, especially like high level guys or especially with like teams, like football teams, basketball teams, baseball teams. You definitely see that. Like I grew up in Tampa, Florida, and the Tampa Bucks. They don't really win as much, you know. So you hear the first 2-3 games, like, yeah, this is our year, and then after that, it's we suck. And then also, I'm not in Massachusetts, where, like, you know, the Patriots, they're like a dynasty. They just win everything. And it's crazy. Like, you see the different type of fans, and it's kind of like it's interesting. But the moment the Patriots mess up, what happens?
Oh, it's
everybody's
heavy.
Everybody's talking. You know, everybody's talking. So it's I think
here it's more like a technical analysis, even though it's half bullshit, but in Brazil it's just hate. Like, oh, he sucks. It's like, why? It's like, he just sucks. He should retire. He should never fight again. And I think here they just go like, oh, this guy is like, it's too old. They like stats here a lot, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what they play for.
I agree with that for sure.
I always say that it's so funny that I lived in Boston for so long, and when I moved to New York, it's like Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox, and the Patriots, right? So I had gears for everything. We'd like live on sports. Every week you got one of those guys playing, right? So I said that was it took me a few months to get rid of all my Red Sox hats. Because people really get bothered by the Red Sox here in New York. With the Patriots, they don't really care much, but the Red Sox, I'll get all kinds of dirty looks. It's like,
So they'll like the Red Sox fans are just as brutal. Like, they'll boo. They'll start chanting, New York sucks or whatever during a game and they're not even playing New York. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll be playing like the Tampa Bay Rays, and they'll start shooting, you know, New York sucks.
I know.
New York, and they're not even playing anything from New York. So it's like the hate's real, you know, the hate's real.
If you want to feel that, just walk around New York City with a Red Sox hat. You feel exactly the opposite. It's the same. It's about the same.
Yeah, man. It's crazy.
Look, how's training camp going? At this point, not wrapping it up. You got what, three and a half weeks still to go. Fights in Vegas. How soon you fly to Vegas?
So we'll fly out that Tuesday. We'll get there. Pretty sure we'll quarantine, get checked out, get tested, all that.
Oh, you're flying this Tuesday?
No, we'll fly out the Tuesday of that week.
Oh, the Tuesday of that week. Okay.
Yeah, Tuesday of that week. And then we'll get there. just, you know, obviously just stay focused and try to do as much as possible, as far as like not focusing on the fight, but while focusing on the fight, like not thinking of the fight, yeah. but just doing what I have to do is stay prepped and ready, and then just have time and enjoy, you know, enjoy Vegas and as much as possible, because, you know, we're not going to be able to do much, but figure it out, you know, figure try
two,
to get creative.
2 days quarantine, right? 48 hours?
Yeah, so we got to figure that out, try to get, you know, creative on what we do and how we kill time and buy time, and man, I'm excited, man. I just want to get there and obviously jump in there, because it's been too long, bro.
And I know, and I got that. I got the feeling that it's that's probably like the fight for you, right? The like analyzing where Marlon is in the ranks and what that could possibly bring to you. It's yeah. kind of like it's one of the most important fighters of your career, right?
Yeah, it's a big fight. It's huge. It puts me right where I want to be. Puts me right there in number one contender tension and or another big name, you know. Yeah. So it's exactly what we all want, we all strive for, and we all fight for, and I'm fortunate enough to get the opportunity, and my job is to go out there and take advantage of it.
Nice. How long before the so you arrive in Vegas on Tuesday, you already on heavy diet, a lot of water, and then Wednesday it's weight cutting. How is the weight cut?
So
for
we'll
you?
We'll start the cut actually Thursday night.
Okay.
We'll start the cut Thursday night and a little bit Friday morning and then weigh in Friday morning. So I'll start a little later. It's not bad. I usually have like 7 pounds. I'll do like 4 at night, eat, gain a little more back, and do wake up, and then I do 2, 2.5, 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Wake up a little earlier. I wake up like probably a little early, like around 5:30, 6 o'clock. Start by like 6:30, and then be done by like 9, to be weighing by like 10, 11 o'clock.
Cool.
So it sucks, but it's not that bad. It's just a couple hour suck fest, and then it's hanging out, it's just waiting, you know. And then we can weigh in from there. Obviously we'll recover and rehydrate, and then we'll do the face offs.
Yeah, just saw the fight with the title shot between Peter Yan and Aljamain Sterling. It's off, right?
Yeah,
what do you think of that? What do you think that they're gonna do?
Heard it was like I hope you know, I hope Aljamain gets that back. You know, he's been working hard for that and
stuff.
And,
right?
But I heard it's a personal thing. So like, so that's good. You know, it's like he's not like Pretty Jan's.
Yeah, from what I heard, it's like he couldn't get a visa or something, right? It's like it's something with the travel restrictions.
Like, it was like something weird. I think it was personal, like, which is good and bad, because it means they can rebook the fight because he's not injured. Just sucks that, you know, like you don't know when. That's the only thing.
Yeah, do you think Cody Garbrandt is gonna fight on the? Is he gonna fight on that division again? Because he was looking, and he actually said that he's gonna try to fight Davison on a flyweight in March, right? Because he was supposed to be the guy fighting Davison last week.
I can see him making 25. I can see him fighting for that title. He has the name. He has the. He's a former champ. So, him going down there, I can see him getting straight to a title shot. Especially coming off of the win he just had. You know, like it was impressive. So I can definitely see an ex-champ, big knockout power.
Yeah.
You know, exciting. He has a big following. So I can see him getting there. And I believe it was supposed to happen. He just got injured, right? Like.
Yeah, so I think
once he gets back, I can see him getting straight to that title shot.
Yeah, so that's one last, because I'm trying to look here. It's like it's one last for you, right? Like, because
dropping our way to that title, man.
Exactly, so, yeah. Exactly. That's kind of what I was looking for. And then you have Dominic Cruz, you number 11. Dominic Cruz is number 10, which I don't think there's anything planned for him. I think Dominic at this point is just gonna get like kind of like super fights, like show off fights, right?
Yeah.
I think Cejudo got really, really lucky when they took Aldo out of the fight and put Dominic. Because if you analyze, besides the fact that the card never happened because it was going to be in Brazil and got canceled because of COVID, but I said Aldo fighting in São Paulo, Brazil, against Cejudo, it was going to be a really, really tough night for Cejudo, you know, because that was going to be all the more. I had a podcast with Aldo, and he actually said on the podcast that he lost the. I say you just. I kind of say like, hey, after the McGregor fight, you kind of lost it, right? It's like the fun of it. He's like, yeah, it's kind of like. Say like I actually say that in the slang in Portuguese. I say you're not. Like your dick's not hard for that anymore, right? He's like, yeah, it's not. It's like it's just whatever now, you know. And
yeah,
but a title shot in Brazil, home, I think that would light up that little fire on Aldo again, you know. And then
hopefully, because you know that you got to go in it excited, you know. You got to go in these fights, or you're gonna get hurt, you know. And so hopefully it switches it up and it gets him going, because. You know, like, obviously, I don't want to see anybody really get, you know, that beat up because
exactly. He had a tough fight with Peter, too, right?
Yeah, so.
It's not Peter, it's Peter. I don't even know. I don't even know. Yeah, I don't even know how to say that. But look, good luck. Good luck on your fight, man. We'll be tuning in.
Thank you for having me on, man.
And maybe we'll connect after and we'll see what's next.
My dude, thank you again for having me, bro. I'll catch you later.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving, bro.